Welcome to a special edition of the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet 'em, greet 'em, treat 'em, and street 'em. Today's date is August 18th, 2014, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is, Oh Captain, My Captain. As many of you know, actor and comedian Robin Williams died last week. I admittedly am having some difficulties processing the loss. There are feelings of anger, sadness, and disbelief. It's kind of weird. A person I've not known personally, but someone I've only known through movies, has affected me so much. Robin Williams has made a huge impact on my desire to teach, certainly the way I teach, and my goal to inspire independent, critical, and skeptical thinkers. It must be affecting others in the EM community too. An SGEM listener emailed me asking me if there would be a special episode dedicated to Robin Williams. I was not sure if it would be respectful or even appropriate to do such. As always, when I'm faced with a difficult decision, I check with people I hold in high regard. So I was able to contact Rob Rogers of iTeachEM and Rob Orman of ERCast. They both thought it was a good idea and felt it may help me and other SGEM listeners heal. So welcome to the SGEM, Robs.
There we go. Hey, thanks, Ken. Thank you very much for having us. Yeah, it was interesting. You and I, right after this happened, you and I started a dialogue, and we have been talking about it on an almost daily basis since. And it helps to hash it out and go through it. Sky had a lot of impact on all of our lives.
Rob, when did you find out when Robin Williams died?
First of all, you said you hold both of us in high regard. Is that what you said?
I did say that.
Okay, I'm just making sure that's recorded and there's evidence of that. I found out about this, I think it was the day after. I had worked the night shift, and I was on Twitter, and somebody had mentioned a comment about Robin Williams dying, and I didn't see anything else in the Twitter feed. So at first, honestly, I thought it was someone spamming Twitter. And then, obviously, I turned on the news and realized that it actually had happened. So it was a very, very sad day.
Well, in true SGEM fashion, my tribute to Robin Williams is going to be a top five list, a top five Robin Williams movies. Now, these are the must-see movies, and I think are core content to any EM rotation. You guys know that I still give out memory sticks, USB sticks of movies to my trainees so they laugh at my jokes, and these are 80s movies, of course.
Yeah, you know, Ken, you and I talk about this on a regular basis, and I have started my kids, my elementary and middle school kids, on their 1980s movie collection. And the other day they said, can we please watch a movie that is not from the 1980s? So I have to take a little break from that.
I'm glad I was able to influence your family in some small way.
I feel sorry for your kids, Rob. Really feel sorry for them.
You know, if you look at the movie Dead Poets Society, before they started any of their meetings, their Dead Poets Society gatherings, they had to start with this famous poem. So I'm going to lead us into the top five list with quoting that poem. I'm going to need some music to help set the mood. And so this is from the Dead Poets Society, and the music is called To the Cave. Quote, I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life, and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. I did not wish to live what was not life. Living is so dear. Nor did I wish to practice resignation, unless it was quite necessary. I wanted to live deep and suck all the marrow of life, to live so sturdily and Spartan-like as if to put to rout all that was not life, to cut a broad swath and shave close, to drive life into a corner and reduce it to its lowest terms. Gentlemen, we can start the top five list. Movie number one, Patch Adams. Rob Orman, what do you think?
This movie came out when I was in my second year of residency, and after seeing it, I went and learned how to make balloon animals. I started doing magic tricks for patients. And it's interesting that, you know, he kind of brushed up against the establishment and they didn't like that. And I'll tell you that the patients kind of like this, except, of course, for the latex allergy. But didn't always go over so well with the establishment. Like, why are you doing magic tricks? Throughput, throughput, throughput. But, you know, the medicine that we do isn't always so complex. But how do you make patients feel like they're still human beings? It's a struggle in our field because it's so high stress. I mean, sometimes we're being scammed in one way or another. But for the most part, patients are scared. And anything you can do to make that less so, that is a win. And that was so much of what that movie was about. People are scared. And, you know, just connect with them on a human level, and it's going to be good for everybody.
Rob, there was a quote in there that says, "You treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you'll win, no matter what the outcome." Rob Rogers, what do you think of this movie?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite Williams movies. And, you know, I think the reason is this guy had such optimism about medicine. And, you know, we all work shifts in the emergency department, and, you know, we have good shifts and bad shifts. You know, I think sometimes we actually forget why we're there. You can get just completely bogged down in administrative duties and, you know, the day-to-day activities of what we do in practice. And, you know, sometimes our shifts don't go so well, and sometimes we get a little burned out, to be honest. And I just watched this movie recently, and I think it's a great reminder. And I think for people who are feeling a bit, I guess, worn out, maybe fatigued or burned out on their specialty, and, you know, we're talking about emergency medicine here, this is a movie I think you need to go watch again. And I think it's a great reminder of why we all went into medicine to begin with. I think we all need these certain movies in our lives that refresh us and remind us why we wanted to be doctors in the first place. And this is, I think, probably the best example of why we went into medicine, why we went into emergency medicine. You know, again, we get bogged down in seeing patient after patient after patient. And I think sometimes we forget that it is our job to improve the quality of our patients' lives. And so I would recommend that if you're feeling kind of burned out, this is a definite first movie you need to go watch that Robin Williams did.
Another quote from the movie Patch Adams was, "Our job is improving the quality of life, not just delaying death." And I certainly learned a lot from this movie as a young doctor. And one of the most important lessons I learned was to be myself. I started wearing bright red shoes on every shift. The nurses call them my Dorothy slippers. And whenever they do that, I just click my heels twice and say, "There's no place like Emerge. There's no place like Emerge." And, you know, wearing these crazy red shoes seems to take some of the stress, especially when seeing kids. You know, I'm a big guy, and here I come, and every doctor they've ever seen come at them has had a needle in their hand. And here I come at them with these crazy red shoes. And so I love this movie, Patch Adams. You know, there is some rebellious nature to it. And there's a reason I approached the two of you guys. I mean, you're out there cutting a swath through emergency medicine with your own uniqueness and distinctiveness. And the last Patch Adams quote I wanted to leave with the listeners was, quote, "But you can't control my spirits, gentlemen. You can't keep me from learning. You can't keep me from studying. So you have a choice. You can have me as a professional colleague, passionate, or you can have me as an outspoken outsider, still adamant. Either way, I'll probably still be viewed as a thorn. But I promise you one thing, I'm a thorn that will not go away. And the two of you don't seem to be going away in medical education." So that's Patch Adams. Number two, Aladdin. Oh my goodness, poof, what do you want? Poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need? Oh, every time I see a patient in Emerge, I start feeling like I'm the genie in Aladdin and I'm trying to grant some wishes here. Rob Orman, what do you think of this movie?
Yeah, that definitely has an emergency medicine flavor. But I'm going to tell you, Ken, that Aladdin is a great movie. I actually used to own the VHS tape of Aladdin. But number two on my list for emergency medicine, especially actually what the three of us do, which is podcasting, is Good Morning Vietnam. And when I was in high school, I always wanted to do the morning announcements. And I used to ask all the time if I could do the morning announcements. And sometimes it actually happened.
Could I interrupt you? I mean, people may be listening to this in the morning. Do you mind giving us a real, you know, loud yelp of good morning SGEM listeners?
Sure.
Do you want me to count you in?
No pressure.
Sure. Yeah. You ready?
Here,
you ready?
1, 2, 3.
Good morning, morning, S-Gem. Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. It is time to rock from the Delta to the DMZ. Hey, does that meet or sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Danang. Pure mess.
That's pretty good, Rob. How much coffee have you had this morning?
No coffee. I'm
wow, that's all natural.
I'm uncaffeinated all the time. I'm on
that's
tap
very
water.
Sad.
Tap
that's very
water.
Sad.
Well, I'm going to get back to Aladdin here, and I've got some quotes from the Aladdin movie, and they remind me of working in the emergency department. One of them is night shifts. I love that. Oi, 10,000 years will give you such a crick in your neck. We've slept on some pretty uncomfortable couches, I'm sure. Or how about the call rooms themselves? I mean, here we are as the emergency doctor. We have control over life and death. So it's phenomenal cosmic power in an itty-bitty living space, you know? It's the emergency room. No, it's a department. Or how about ACLS for asystole? Remember the OPALS trial? I can't bring people back from the dead. It's not a pretty picture. Or how about narcotic seekers that come in? There's a few provisos, a couple of quid pro quos. Aladdin. Rob Rogers, you like this movie?
I love it. You know, my favorite quote is, "You ain't never had a friend like me." And I think that honestly ties into exactly what we're doing right now, right? Foam, social media. I think that's a great quote that ties in the foam movement. Because, you know, I've met probably both of you. I know I met Ken through foam and social media. And Rob, I don't remember where we met. Was it Essentials Course?
Oh, I don't
Skype?
Even know, Robbie.
I don't know.
It goes back so far.
No, I just, as an aside, I get these random voice memo emails from Rob Orman. I know everybody listening to this. And I tell you, when I get these emails, let me just tell you, when I get these emails and I can see the memo at the bottom, it's like a present from God. It's these little audio snippets, and I know that when I click play, Rob Orman's buttery smooth voice is going to be on the other end of it. So, you know, that's just the way foam and social media is, and I think the "you ain't never had a friend like me" quote just completely encapsulates why we all do this to begin with.
Yeah, I love that. And guys, you ain't never got a friend like me either.
Oh, it's, you're such a loving gentleman.
Tear. So number three on my list was Good Will Hunting. And I like this movie because it was very similar to How I Met My Wife, Barb. Yes, I am Ken and she is Barb. I'm not making this stuff up.
And so you are big strapping blonde blue-eyed guy. You know, you look like a Ken doll.
Have
it's
you met?
True.
Yeah, I'll have to send. Well, I'm not going to send you pictures of my wife, but she is very tall, very blonde, 5'11", and blue-eyed and beautiful.
So Ken, I have to ask: did you slap that piece of paper up against the window and say, "Do you like apples?
How do you
and
like them apples?"
Yeah. Did you do that?
I met her. And just for the record, it was outside the bar, but we were trying to get inside the bar. And up, you know, she jumps the line, and I'm like, oh my God, there's my future wife. She's just jumped in line ahead of me. And sure enough, before long, we were engaged and married. And so I love that movie, Good Will Hunting, because, sorry guys, I got to go see about a girl.
How you like them apples?
I use that line at work all the time. I use two lines: wrecked him, damn near killed him.
Ooh,
that's a great one. And that one, I'll you know say something like someone ask a question. I'll go ba 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 ba, you know, give whatever the, you know, what the current literature is. You know, very erudite. And I'll say, hey, do you like apples? And I'll say, well, yes, I do. I don't know why people, you know, still humor me. Like, well, how you like them apples?
Yeah, have you guys noticed as you get older that your movie quotes are falling on deaf ears?
Yeah. It's more of an eye roll than a chuckle at this point.
That's why I flip my classroom and give them a USB key at the start of the rotation, and we will be discussing those movies while the rotation completes. There are a couple other quotes that I really like from Good Will Hunting, and of course it applies to me, and that is, quote, "You're not perfect, sport. And let me save you the suspense. This girl you've met, she's not perfect either. But the question is whether or not you're perfect for each other." The other great quote from Good Will Hunting is, "Real loss is only possible when you love something more than you love yourself." And for me, that's Barb. Okay, number four, Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, hello! Rob Rogers, what do you think?
You know, funny, I just watched, or at least we started watching Mrs. Doubtfire a few days ago with the kids. Number one, I had forgotten that there was quite a bit of foul language in the movie. So when I decided to let my 10 and a half year old watch it with me, I got some looks from my wife, but that's a different issue for a different episode, perhaps. This is a great movie with lots of great lines. And, you know, when you look back at Robin Williams' life and you listen to all the things people are talking about on the news, this also, I think, encapsulates many of us with families and kids, that you'll do almost anything to be with your kids. And I think it's just a great example of the person that Robin Williams was. And, you know, I think it also highlights some of the things I think we want to be in our own families with our children. It's a great, great movie.
Rob Orman, what do you think about Mrs. Doubtfire?
I'm going to tell you, Ken, I've never seen Mrs. Doubtfire, and that was a conscious choice. But perhaps I should. You know, I'm going to say it's not number four on my list, but I'm going to put in Awakenings as number four on my
movie.
List.
Great movie.
So there's a line in that movie. It's talking about using medications to reverse severe movement disorders and people that have essentially been catatonic for years. And Robin Williams is the protagonist. He's the main doctor who's experimenting with these medications. He says, "What we do know is that as the chemical window closed, another awakening took place, that the human spirit is more powerful than any drug, and that is what needs to be nourished with work, play, friendship, family. These are the things that matter. This is what we'd forgotten, the simplest things."
I had forgotten that movie. That's excellent. You've awoken me to that movie. We'll put that on the list on the blog so people can click on that and maybe go back and check that one out as well. But let's get back to Mrs. Doubtfire. Since having kids, there's nothing I would not do to be part of their lives, including dressing up in drag. But Robin Williams... hey, easy there. But Robin Williams showed in Mrs. Doubtfire everyone the importance of family, that life was not perfect. Parents got divorced. Parents make mistakes. But not to worry about what other people think, and that sadness is only temporary. And, you know, with Robin Williams passing, I hope this sadness is only temporary, too. The quote that stands out from this movie is when Robin Williams is dressed as Mrs. Doubtfire, and he says, in his Scottish nanny accent, "There are all sorts of families, Katie. Some families have one mummy, some families have one daddy, or two families, and some children live with their uncle or aunt. Some live with their grandparents, and some children live with foster parents. And some live in separate homes, in separate neighborhoods, in different areas of the country. And they may not see each other for days, or weeks, or months, even years at a time. But if there's love, dear, those are the ties that bind, and you'll have a family in your heart forever." But guys, I've got to get to my fifth, and you know, I left the big one to the end. And that is Dead Poets Society. This movie probably had the most impact upon me. I identified so much with both the students and Mr. Keating. There were so many great lines encouraging students not to conform, find their own voice, and be critical, skeptical thinkers. Did this have a big impact on you, Rob Orman?
Oh, this, I mean, even thinking about this movie, I mean, it sounds silly. Even thinking about this movie just brings a tear to my eye, because this was by far the most impactful movie ever in my life. It informed who I wanted to be as a teacher. Going deeper, being a teacher or even an educator at all, you know, how can you tap into the essence of a subject and transmit that in a way that's meaningful? And how can you be a teacher who's relatable, who's fun, but still get the message across? When I think of all the wacky things I've done in the name of education, so much of it comes back to this character, this Mr. Keating character. And I used to work at a private hospital that had EM residents rotate through, and sometimes I'd have them give their presentations in the code room, but it was darkened, and I'd have the exam light shining on them, kind of like an interrogation, except we were all laughing because it was just to break down the ridiculousness of the hierarchy of, you know, attending and resident. You will bend to my will. And honestly, the idea of carpe diem, who was not saying that to themselves as they walked out of the theater after seeing this movie? You know, we say it all the time, and it started right here. And one other thing, this movie contrasted the what you would call the organic or the free-thinking teacher with the establishment. And when Robin Williams entered the classroom, he was whistling, I think it was like the 1812 overture. And when his replacement entered the classroom, he said, "Sit! You will bend to my will." That was what he implied, at least. And the difference there is that I will mold you into what you need to be versus let's see what's inside of you and help you figure it out.
I really, really identified with this movie. And I love one of the quotes where he said, "Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are all noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for." Did it have a big impact on you, Rob Rogers?
This is definitely one of my favorite movies, and I think has had a powerful impact on me as an educator. And you know, the quote that I'm sure is going to be on the post, that a powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be? I think that really kind of highlights what you're doing, Ken, and what I'm doing, and what Rob Orman is doing, and what so many of us in education and film and social media are trying to do. We're trying to contribute our verse and leave our mark. And, you know, now that I've turned 43, and will be 44 this year, I really started to think more and more about, you know, what will my verse be? What is it that I'm going to leave for education and for emergency medicine? What is it that I'm going to leave for my kids? And I've incorporated this quote into talks, and I believe Apple has incorporated this quote and this speech into some of their advertising for the iPad even. And it's a really actually very good commercial. And so I think this really sort of gets to the heart of what we're doing day in and day out. I mean, why are we doing this podcast recording, to be honest? Because we're trying to make a mark and leave an impact. And this movie, particularly the scene at the very end where most of the students stand up on their desk and Mr. Keating leaves the room, I think that's what we all strive to be and to do, to be the educator when we leave the room, when we leave the emergency department. We have the symbolic student standing on their desk that we've had an impact as an educator for them. I think that's really what we'd like to do with our lives.
And you know, people say this whole foam world has exploded and there's so many people contributing to it. But you know, we're all contributing a verse. But when we come together, it becomes a chorus, right? It becomes a whole chorus, a movement.
Yeah.
And there's another quote they have, and that was, "Boys, you must strive to find your own voice, because the longer you wait to begin, the less likely you are to find it at all. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. Don't be resigned to that. Break out." End of quote. And I think that's what he was getting at when he was talking about laying down your own verse and finding your voice. And there was another quote where he said, "No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world." And I think that's what FOAM is doing to medical education. What you're doing, Rob, and what Rob Orman is doing, you guys are changing the face of education through some new technology.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
He does put on a little bit of caution in there when he says, you know, there is a time for daring and a time for caution, and a wise man understands which is called for. I'm going to leave you with one last quote from Dead Poets Society. "Now we all have a great need for acceptance, but you must trust that your beliefs are unique, your own, even though others may think them odd or unpopular." And I think that's what we're doing, Rob, is that we're leading our own path. No matter what anybody else says, our uniqueness and our ability to teach in certain ways are being added to the FOAM community and making medical education better, and hopefully producing better physicians who have better patient care, resulting in better outcomes.
Yeah, and I mean, you hit the nail on the head. And when you look at this top five list, and he did so many movies. I was looking at his movies on Apple TV and on Amazon. And I was just looking at the movies that he's done over the years. His energy and his passion and his ability to entertain and just talk about anything, I honestly think, and I've talked to people recently who've said the same thing, this guy affected so many people's lives. And I was trying to figure out why is it that I'm so sad about this guy dying? I mean, obviously we all loved him, and but you know, certainly a lot of celebrities have died in recent years, and you know, we get sad, obviously, but this one really, really hit me. And I noticed on social media and the news that this particular person really just, I mean, it just really affected so many people much more than I've seen in recent years. And I think really because he affected so much of who we've become as someone who wants to leave our mark. And, you know, going back to Dead Poets Society and even some of the other movies, that's why I think so many people were upset, is this guy made the world a better place. I try to teach my kids that, you know, you should choose a job someday that just makes the world better. You know, you can do whatever you like, but if you add your verse and you add just a little bit of positivity and just make some people feel better, you've made the planet a better place. And I really think that's what this particular really talented comedian hit on, much more so than anybody I've ever encountered in my life.
Rob, I'd like to take the opportunity to take something that's been very, very sad and hopefully turn it into something positive. And that's an opportunity to discuss physicians and mental health. And there have been studies that demonstrate increased suicide rates among physicians. And this can be seen as early as medical school. Physicians are more likely to be successful. Isn't that an awful term, successful, in their suicide attempts compared to non-physicians? And there are many factors felt to be involved in the increased suicide rate, including professional burden. But I want people to hear this. If you're feeling like your own well-being is concerning, or that you have concerns over a colleague's mental health, there are resources available to you. And in Ontario, Canada, where I am, that's a 1-800 number, 851-6606. Don't be scared to access that resource. And there are suicide hotlines all across Canada. In the United States, there's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and it's 1-800-271-TALK. That's 1-800-271-8255. And they list a number of warning signs for which may mean somebody's at risk for suicide. So remember, you're not alone, and that there are many people out there that have felt suicidal at some point in their life. And suicide crises are almost always temporary, and this too shall pass. The problems do look big at first, but are seldom as great as they appear at first glance. Don't lose sight of all the reasons to live. No matter how big the problems seem, how much you're hurting, suicide is not the answer. Help is available, so don't keep suicide thoughts to yourself. Well, Rob, any final thoughts at the end of this podcast that we can discuss?
I guess I would mention that, you know, we work with lots of colleagues, and, you know, sometimes we might notice they're in a bad mood, or maybe we notice a trend in behavior. And I think sometimes those things can sort of go on and linger for a long time. And certainly we probably worked with people and know people in our family and our neighborhoods that we think maybe struggling with depression. My suggestion, and I think, fortunately, I think what legacy Robin Williams has left behind, in addition to all of his great movies and acting, is that he's brought sort of back to the surface. And I think this really has left quite a punch this time, is to seek out your friends and seek out your colleagues that you think may be struggling, and just ask them. You're never going to know if people need help unless you dig in a little bit and ask. You know, people who are struggling with depression and thoughts of suicide don't have to be alone. There's people around to help. But I think the good thing, if there is anything that's come out of this that is good, is that people are talking more and more about this, and there's help. But we have to be friends for our colleagues and our family and our friends and our neighbors. And we have to actually make that leap and just help people. That's one of the final thoughts I'd have.
Rob Orman, what are your final thoughts?
There's a scene in Dead Poets Society that has always stuck with me. It's where the Robin Williams character is first meeting his students, and he introduces the idea of seizing the day, carpe diem, to his students. It's part cautionary tale, it's part inspiration. So he takes the boys into the trophy room, and there's all the trophies and the pictures of the classes and the great athletes from years and decades before. The students get up close to the pictures, and Robin Williams is talking behind them, and he says, "They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible. Just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things. Just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope. Just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing the daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on. Lean in. Listen. Do you hear it? Carpe. Do you hear it? Carpe. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary."
My final thoughts, as I reflect back on the genius of Robin Williams, comes from a Lord Alfred Tennyson poem. It was in Dead Poets Society, and as I approach 50 years old, these verses mean more and more to me. As an ER physician, educator, husband, and father, quote, "We are not now that strength which in old days moved heaven and earth. That which we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will, to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield." Doing this podcast with you two has really helped me grieve and deal with Robin Williams' death. As Mr. Keating said in the movie, thank you, boys. Robin Williams himself had a great speech in a 1996 movie about death and grieving. And so I'm going to play that now for you.
"Please, don't worry so much. Because in the end, none of us have very long on this earth. Life is fleeting. And if you're ever distressed, cast your eyes to the summer sky. When the stars are strung across the velvety night, and when a shooting star streaks through the blackness, turning night into day, make a wish. Think of me. And make your life spectacular. I know I did."
I'm skeptical of a lot of things, but one thing I'm not skeptical about is that Robin Williams, a man I never met, made a difference and changed my life. Rob Rogers, EM educator, I think it was you who suggested we stand on our desks, like in the movie Dead Poets. I will put those pictures on the blog. Will you give the send-off to Robin Williams?
Rest in peace, O Captain, my Captain.
We will be back to regular SGEM episodes this fall. Until then, remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on The Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.